from LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
We're on the corner of Central Avenue and Fifth Street. The majority of the people that worked on the racetrack lived right here on this street. The houses are still here, but the people that lived here, God rest their souls, quite a few of them are still here, like myself, 70 and younger, but the ones 70 and older are gone.
This is Track Changes, a podcast from the Louisville Story Program and Louisville Public Media, where we meet the people who've lived their lives next to Churchill Downs and visit the places they call home. Our tour guide is Sam Alexander, lifelong resident of the neighborhoods near the track, exercise rider and jockey.
I'm beating you because I'm a better rider than you.
I'm Joe Manning. Today we're in the neighborhood of South Louisville, just north of Churchill Downs. Locals call it the Hill. Nobody really knows why. There's no hill to speak of there.
I really never got the full understanding of that. I mean, like I said, I've been coming on this spot I'm on right now since I was 13 years old. And now I'm 70. And never really knew why they call it the Hill.
I grew up in South Louisville on the corner of Rodman and M.
That's Sylvia Arnett. She grew up on the Hill. And she runs a place in West Louisville called Sill's Lounge. Here she is at a story swap there where black racetrackers were passing the mic, talking about old times.
We had a wonderful neighborhood out there. It was like six blocks. We were surrounded by whites, but we had no problems, and it was just an oasis, little village, really, really great. We had a portable school there called George G. Moore, and that's where we went to school. I lived three doors down from the school, and when the integration came along, the city came through and decided to buy the property to make a playground, and they gave the people on the block an option. If you could find a spot to move your house, you could have the house, and if not, the city was tearing the houses down. My mother decided that she was going to save that house because when they bought it, it was $4 down and $4 a week, and they paid it off. And she just could not stand the thought of letting the house go. Plus, she raised 11 kids in there. And we didn't have about five rooms. It was kind of crowded, but we didn't know the difference. But anyway, we found a house mover, Mr. Ross, in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And he was an African-American guy. I don't know how he got in the business, but that guy could move a mountain. So he came out and moved our house from the corner of Rodman and M over to 6 and Iowa. And the house is still there. We've had it renovated. It's 100 years old, but you would never know it.
The kids of South Louisville didn't just get their education at the G.G. Moore School. With a bookie on every corner, there was ample opportunity for young folk to get into the game early.
When we were kids, we parked cars and thought we were making big money getting a quarter to watch a car all day long. But if we took the responsibility, we would sit there religiously and make sure nothing happened to that car. And there were racetrackers that came from out of town, and they always had good hunches on who was going to win. So we learned to pull our money and send it over to the racetrack with an adult to bet for us. So betting became an option at an early age. And then we learned to read the program and the racing form, and we could tell you all about, you know, a mutter and whether a horse was a filly or a mare or a gelding, you know. Racing just became something that we just grew up about, and it was just in your blood. If you were from South Louisville, the racetrack was it. Went over there every available moment that we could get over there.
You might have grown up measuring your year by summer break from school. But kids on the Hill measured theirs by spring and fall meets at Churchill Downs.
There was just an excitement in the air when the announcement came for the dates, the racing dates at Churchill Downs. It just seemed to bring a different atmosphere to the neighborhood. We knew there would be a lot of strangers from out of town, and they would come over in the evenings after they were finished working. So it was an opportunity to meet a lot of different people. We had one little place that there was an elderly lady that owned it,
and it was called the Chippy Joint. It was located on Iowa between 6th Street and Rodman Street. And of course, there was no alcohol then, just beer license and a jukebox. So for recreation, after the guys left the track, finished eating at the kitchen on the back side of the track, they would walk over to the hill to have an evening of entertainment with the jukebox and the beer and the dancing and this, that, and all. And it was a chance to mingle with the some of the young ladies in the neighborhood. It was very exciting. Everyone in the neighborhood knew each other. Everyone knew each other. The little ones all down, they knew the history of the family. What your dad done, what your mom done, you know, where you worked, who went with who.
Juke joints like this were the social hubs of the neighborhood. Sam took me to one, or at least where one used to be.
The spot that we're sitting in now is almost more historical than Churchill Downs itself. All the personnel that worked back there at the time, black and white alike, would come to this exact spot, which at the time was Emma Pearl's. As we called it, it was a joint. They sold beer, no liquor, no strong liquor, but beer, pop, potato chips, food of all types. I mean, you get pig feet here, you get, oh man, some of the best fried bologna sandwiches I ever ate in my life at Emma Pearl's. I mean, every trainer that called himself a trainer, black or white, anybody that called himself an exercise rider, or a groom, or a hot walker.
One of the neighborhood's big names, Jake Batchelor. One of the few black horsemen to take the leap and get a trainer's license. It's hard to overstate how rare this was, actually.
Oh, Jake. Good fellow. God rest his soul. He's gone and left us now. But when he was here, he was an outstanding man, good father, good supporter to his family, and a heck of a trainer racehorse. And I was the exercise rider for Jake. Jake taught me a lot in knowing the conformation of a racehorse. Him and Carl Sigrays, they were the only two blacks in South Louisville that was actually had the knowledge and the understanding of training a racehorse. Those two were the elders of South Louisville, and everybody respected them and looked up to them as trainers.
On the walls of Sill's Lounge, you'll see a few pictures of her family and their horses after a win, including one of Jake's.
Sylvia was Jake Batch's sister-in-law and one hellacious lady. God bless her.
This one up here was one of the best ones he had. It's named after me and my sister. Her name is Mildred. My name was Sylvia, so the horse is Silver Mill. And she won the debutante stakes out there. This is 1972, going way back. He also ran a horse in the Derby trial. The horse was named after him, Naughty Jake. And he was a mean horse, too. We would go to the track, and he said, "Don't get near her, because he'll bite you." And sure enough, he would.
And Naughty Jake was fast.
He finished fourth in the Derby trial, which was really a great accomplishment for an African-American. And we wanted him to run the horse in the Derby. We thought that he had a heck of a horse and that he would have got there. But he figured that to finish fourth, it wasn't good enough. Plus, you had to have a large sum of money to enter the horse in the Derby at that time. We thought if we'd have went around the neighborhood, collected the money, and got that horse in, I'm sure we would have had an African-American Derby trainer and owner. But as it stands now, he is, as far as I know, the only African-American owner of the debutante stakes and the winner.
Sports Illustrated ran a feature on Jake and Naughty Jake called "The Horse That Almost Ran."
The whole thing was truly unbelievable, really. To be in the paddock with a horse that you were going to run in a race, it was just unheard of because we were poor people. We didn't have anything, you know, but we had the nerve. And it worked pretty good. We would be in the paddock, and once you had a horse and the neighborhood heard about it, you didn't have to worry. Everybody in the neighborhood would be over there in the paddock to see if what they were seeing was really true.
Sylvia and her husband eventually bought a few horses and ran them.
So many times we would go to the small tracks, and we would be there, and you would hear people say, "Those African-American people on that horse over there, they're getting ready to run that horse." And we thought we were real celebrities, you know. poor and did not know it, but we were rich in thought.
She never did get rich from horse racing. Nobody from the Hill really did. But the love of racing was enough.
When you speak about some of the elderly guys like Tommy Long and all that worked on the track, they were just legends, you know. Never had anything, never turned out to be wealthy or anything. They just had a plain American life, you know, the American dream. But they loved it, you know. Once it gets in your blood, it's in there. Horse racing is something that once you're associated with it close, you never get over it. I still love racing. I wish I'd have had the money to go farther, you know. I'd have been in the history books for sure. Female African American owner of the Kentucky Derby winner. Wow, what an honor. What a dream. That's like hitting the lottery.
I'm Joe Manning, and this is Track Changes.
Track Changes is a collaboration between the Louisville Story Program and Louisville Public Media, produced by Joe Manning and Laura Ellis. Our tour guide is Sam Alexander. Our theme song is by Giant Dunes, featuring J.D. Green. For more information, visit louisvillepublicmedia.org/trackchanges. If you love the stories on this podcast, check out the Louisville Story Program book, Better Lucky Than Good, Tall Tales and Straight Talk from the Backside of the Track. You can find that at louisvillestoryprogram.org. Our intern on this podcast is me, Alex Cooper. Thanks for listening.